Now, the countdown to the Olympics goes on. I'm delighted to say that we're joined this afternoon on Saturday Sport by Daniel McGee, Head of High Performance with Badminton Ireland, and Rachel Dara, who will be representing Ireland in badminton at the forthcoming 2024 Olympic Games. Welcome to you both to the programme. Thank you for taking the time out to be with us this afternoon, and maybe I'll just start with yourself, Rachel, and begin by congratulating you, because to get to the Olympics, I know that for you this has been a dream that you've held from a young age.
Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, it has. It really has been a dream that's been there for the majority of my life. I'm just really excited now to get over to Paris and get it started, and it's all been great to get here so far.
The Donegal's proud badminton tradition continues. Now, there's also, it's not just yourself on the Irish team, we also have Nat, so tell us a little bit about him, because he's been around for a while also.
Yeah, Nat is also here in the centre in Dublin. So we've been training alongside each other and gone through the qualification for Paris together. Nat also competed in Tokyo, so he has that experience there. And I'm sure he can give me a little bit of help if I need it for my first games. Which I know is great to have Nat with me. And he's obviously a very well-established player as well. So it's great to have him training beside me every day and give me that extra motivation to push on.
Now, you, of course, have plenty of connections with probably the best-known family in Irish badminton, the McGees. Many of our listeners will, of course, know of Chloe, and having represented Ireland at three Olympics, Daniel, Sam and Joshua also representing Ireland, and indeed you are a niece. So no doubt to say you've been immersed in badminton probably since you can remember.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of my very, very first memories of badminton is actually being in Rafoe Badminton Club picking up shuttles for Sam and Chloe. So that's really special as well. And to have had them throughout my whole career, just giving me honest, good feedback and just helping me along the way. And even just seeing the results that they've had European medals. Chloe's been to three Olympics, and Dan's the high performance director here in the setup. So to have that is really, really important, and it's very helpful to have when you're going through this process yourself.
Tell us a little bit about the whole qualification for the Olympics. It goes on a person's rankings. So I suppose it was a somewhat nervous time in the months building up to the cutoff point.
Yeah, definitely. So your best 10 tournaments count over a year. So I think I played 25 tournaments in that year. So that's nearly a tournament every second week. There was a lot of highs and lows, a few best points of my career, and then other times that were really difficult. But I'm glad that I could get through the year, you know, and not avoid any injuries and everything. And to come out then, so the top 38 qualify for the game. So I finished number 34. So that was near that bottom of the list. So it's just then waiting at the end to see how many spots would be given away and different things. So yeah, the last couple of weeks of the qualification were stressful, but we made it through. So that's all that matters.
Yeah. Now, just to give people a glimpse of the sort of demands that you face taking part at this level in the badminton, an awful lot of travel for you, Rachel. So just tell us sort of over the past year, some of the places that you would have been.
I think I've been to every corner of the earth. I remember there was one point I was in Nigeria 1 week, and then I was to Peru after that, and then back to Abu Dhabi, and then there was three tournaments in Europe. So there was a lot going on, and there was times you were maybe here in Dublin for one day and then you're off again. So it was a matter of getting home, getting your washing done, getting the bag packed and out the door again to the airport. Yeah, that qualification year, like, it's tough because you don't really get those blocks of training. So to be able to maintain your level for that year, you know, there's a lot of work that goes in the previous years before you even start the qualification. And that's really like the cycle. The Olympic cycle is 4 years. And for us, it really starts a lot. Like, it does start in that first year out of the 4-year cycle.
Okay, so I'll bring in now your uncle, Daniel McGee, head of high performance at Badminton Ireland. And Daniel, over the years, from your earlier days, just at an administrative and a professional level, there's been huge changes in Badminton Ireland, and there are structures there that clearly wouldn't have been there 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah, there's been some massive changes from our national federation within the last, 10, 15 years. And in the early days, the likes of Scott Evans and Chloe McGee, who were travelling and playing around the world, were based outside of Ireland. But we've now got a home-based centre on the National Sports Campus down in Abbottstown, in Blanchardstown. And that's been a huge benefit for us to work alongside the Sport Ireland Institute, Sport Ireland and Team Ireland, which are all on campus, and to have our own national training base. So the young players coming through can see these other guys that have made the Olympics and can strive towards doing that in the future themselves.
Tell us a little bit about your own position and when you were appointed and what exactly your role is as head of high performance.
I'm now from 2018 up until now doing the high performance director role, where I was previously interim national coach just before that, and since then I've been able to hire a singles coach. We've brought in Iskander Zulkarnin from Malaysia, and we've also hired Sam McGee to take on the doubles coaching specialised job. So we've now grown the structure out that we've got a bigger base of coaches and coaches who are specialising in different areas. And also we've got a junior program pathway coming through below that, which are supported by our coaches within the centre as well. So we have a much bigger team and we've got a lot more players who are playing internationally, both on the European circuit and on the world circuit.
And in terms of looking at the sport overall in Ireland, are we seeing bigger numbers getting involved with this investment in the infrastructure?
Yeah, we've got a great team on our development officers, and we've been lucky enough to keep Chloe on board as part of that. So she's heading up the development team and women in sport for Badminton Ireland. And she's doing a massive amount of work to encourage people to take up the game, both young and old. And there has been a big increase in numbers. Even post-COVID, we've seen a massive increase of people taking up the sport again. And it's great to see all of our different players from across the four provinces of Ireland back on courts again and competing in our national tournaments and our international tournaments. And then players who are just playing for fun within their clubs as well. So great to see the numbers boosting again, and all the hard work by the development team is really starting to pay off.
And great to see that two players from Ireland representing Team Ireland in the Olympics. We've touched on Rachel and the qualification process there, and also for Nat, where has he stood in the world rankings and how has he progressed this year?
Yeah, I'm very proud of both Nat and Rachel and how they handled this qualification cycle. It's a really brutal process, to be honest, traveling to 20 plus tournaments in the year. Rachel's been across the world, as she mentioned, and she's had some fantastic results there, where she's made a podium in Lagos, which is an international challenge event. She's made her first ever quarterfinal of a World Tour 100 event. And then Nat, we've seen win the Irish Open International Challenge this year and reach last 16 of the European Games. And he's followed that up with some very strong results throughout the year on the tour, including a podium at the Scottish Open, and really progressing up the rankings, to a top 45 world player. Rachel broke into the top 70 in the women's singles. So it's just fantastic to see the progression from Tokyo till now, where we had one athlete in Tokyo, now two athletes in Paris. And we aspire to qualify even more for the following games in LA and Brisbane. So a lot of planning going on behind the scenes, but fantastic to see the progression so far.
And bringing Rachel back in here. Rachel, fair to say during the previous Olympic cycle, you were sort of juggling a bit between the doubles and the singles. So am I right in saying you had to sort of decide on maybe one rather than the other to make sure you could really get qualification for the Olympics?
Yeah, for sure. I was competing in mixed doubles as well with Paul Reynolds, and we were kind of playing different tournaments then when I came into the qualification. He also went on along with Josh to try the qualification for men's doubles. So for the singles, I needed to be fully 100% focused on training towards that, and I don't think it would have been possible to balance both the events if I wanted to secure the qualification in singles for Paris.
You're no stranger to big competition. 2022, making the quarterfinals of the Commonwealth Games. You've been to the last 16 at European Championships. You've also made the last 32 at the World Championships. But the Olympics, they really are something special. The draw has been made, and it looks on paper as if you've been handed a tough enough assignment.
Yeah, the draw came out yesterday and I was really looking forward to that. So we can put the final, you know, the video analysis gets done and all that. So I drew Carolina Marin, who's a Olympic champion from 2016 in Rio, and Jinjira Saddleman from Switzerland, who's a European Games 2023 bronze medalist. So yeah, that is a tough draw, but I guess you're at the most prestigious sporting event in the world, so you're not going to be handed an easy draw. So I'm really looking forward to the challenge. I mean, not many people get to say they played an Olympic champion and then against the European Games bronze medalists. I really want to go out there and go for that game and see what happens on the day.
And Daniel, just bringing you back in again, sort of what is the plan now between, well, basically from tomorrow till when the singles get underway? I think it's on the 27th of July. Have you pretty much set out the stall of the actual training and program at this stage?
Yeah, we've got our full camp planned. So we had a home-based camp this time for our Holden camp on campus, where we brought in international sparring from Malaysia and from Holland to support us in the lead-up to the games. We had a really solid first week of training there, where Rachel and Nat have been training twice a day, 5 days this week, and Rachel and Nat actually came in and did an additional session this morning. We're going to maintain that camp up until Wednesday, fly out to Paris on Thursday. We'll get a day's rest after the travel and then another 8 days training in the lead on to the games. It'll be nice to get over there, test out the competition venue, see how the badminton hall is playing, see if there's any drift or any other issues that we need to deal with. But we've got a very solid lead into the games, and Iskander, the head coach for the singles, has done a fantastic job, and the sparring partners that have come in have really added to the camp and have done a fantastic job to raise the level and the culture and the environment that we're training in.
And Rachel, outside of being on court practicing, what other disciplines are you doing? A lot of gym work? Are you doing running? What sort of other things are brought into the whole mix to make sure that you're at your peak?
Yeah, so I also work in the Sport Ireland Institute along with Claire Brady, the S&C coach. So a lot of weights, agility, and also a very important part of the game is your mental side of the game. And I'm working also alongside Jesse Barr, psychologist, to get that right before I go and just have everything set in stone and make sure the mind is as healthy as the body. And yeah, as well, Iskander has also put us through quite a tough physical preparation with running and other different off-court drills to make sure that we are 100% physically ready for the games.
And Rachel, it starts on July the 27th. We wish you every success. And, you know, no doubt for you, this is going to be a great highlight of your career, and you're going to give it everything.
Absolutely. I can't wait to get over there now and get started. And it's been a dream for so long, like you said at the very start of this. So, yeah, it's really exciting. And thank you so much for having me on today.
Well, we wish you all the best. And Daniel, your father, Sammy, of course, one of Rafo Badminton Club's founding fathers, and yourself, Chloe, Sam, Joshua. Now we have Rachel. It's just incredible how Rafo has been the dominant pin on the Irish badminton map, and it's going to continue, and no doubt you're hugely excited about being there and to have two Irish people taking part in this Olympics. It's certainly something to be very proud of.
Yeah, absolutely. Very proud of how far Rachel's come, and very proud of how far Nat has come. And it all started back in Rafal Bampton Hall, and we are very proud of that fact and where we came and where we grew up and the people around us from Rafal. It's a very tight knit community and a very sporting town. So I'm sure they'll have a lot of fun watching the matches, as they have done in the past with Chloe when she represented Ireland in the last three Olympics.
Well, our thanks to you both, Daniel McGee and Rachel Darragh, for joining us on Saturday Sport, and wishing you every success and the best of luck in the forthcoming Olympics.